1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. It's Cody Ingold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Friday is, for, of course, Fan Club Friday. And I guess we have new, I don't know if you guys left this in
Wait,
here Friday.
Then why is there a beach ball in here?
Whoops, my bad. A little heat on that one. There's a beach ball in here that I guess we can
just...
I'm about
to be the no-fun guy. I'm about to take a key to
Cody's,
this
Cody's
going to
be like the elementary teacher. Like, okay, you can only talk. Cody can only talk when he's holding the beach ball. Now it's my turn. I can talk.
That would suck.
I don't know why there's a beach ball, but you're saying you're going to pop it?
Can we as a group agree? Like, if you're listening, Bob, Dusty, Carrington, can we stop leaving garbage in here?
I don't think that was
this
from the morning
show. This is a shared
workspace. I don't think that's
we
a morning
show. We don't need a damn
thing.
Beach ball.
I don't think that's from
the
morning
show. I don't need to be the grumpy old man on this, but we need a beach ball in here.
I think you're being the grumpy old man.
Yeah.
I don't think it's garbage. You know, it's
the beach ball's not as problematic as the other stuff, but I also don't think that's from the morning show anyway. Let's be real.
Would you be mad if they left a football in there and you and Gold could throw the football around during
we
the break?
We shouldn't be throwing a football in break.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to like the lights getting hit by a beach ball. Cody's deflating the whole...
fellas.
My goodness. While Cody's doing that, party pooper over there. Don't forget this football season, the best place to watch the game is at Johnny's Tavern. Now through December 15th at any Johnny's Tavern, scan the QR code to enter for a chance to win a tailgate prize pack and the grand prize of a hosted watch party with a $300 bar tab. Not bad. For you and your friends, each location will have a winner, so you don't miss out. Grab your friends, grab a Yingling, and get in on the action. Only at Johnny's Tavern in partnership with 96.5 The Fan. Your home for football fun and Yingling. Must be 21 or older. Again, that's a QR code that you'll find at those Johnny's locations. We'll get to audio fun bag coming up in about 8 minutes or so. But let's talk more about the defense, because the last two drives of the game, they weren't able to get the stop. 10-play, 83-yard drive results in a touchdown. 12-play, 70-yard drive, of course, results in a touchdown. And it was clearly the worst defensive performance, as he's still deflating the football. They can't hear it, but I can.
I think
beach ball or whatever it is.
All right, it's done.
Yeah.
Go on.
It was their worst defensive performance in almost 2 years because they gave up 30 points. All right, the long streak is now over, unfortunately. There's the balance of recognizing they couldn't get the stops late. But also, like, am I suddenly thinking this defense is just incapable of getting stops? No, I think that would be silly at this point, because number one, a week ago they gave up 14 points. This week in the third quarter, they did not give up a single point. The offense got the ball twice and didn't do anything with it. They got a fourth down stop at one point in this game that was an interception return. So like the idea that like, they're just not getting any stops, I think, is false. What I really want to see is what is the end product look like, which to me, the end product, we're not going to know until Charles Omenihu is back, which hopefully is soon. Does Josh Uche become any bit of a factor? He got 5 snaps in this game against Buffalo. I thought this was actually the game where he's going to play more, going up against an opponent that he's seen a lot in his time, Buffalo and New England, of course. But that just didn't happen either. The one loss that I think is most concerning defensively, like if you're really worried, it would just be the number two corner. The absence of Jalen Watson was underplayed. He was playing really good football. He's done for the year, we believe. I guess we've never officially got that confirmed, but I believe he's done for the year.
They never said done. They made it sound like there was some long shot chance he could return.
And there is no reinforcement happening there. It's Nazi Johnson getting better. It's Josh Williams getting better. That's what has to happen. And it could.
I don't rule that out.
Pass rush is the area that I think will end up getting sorted out a little bit more, in my opinion. I know that's where everybody's focusing their attention. Like, do you not believe this defense is capable of getting stops? I don't.
No, I don't worry about that. From the 816, they can't defend the flat to save their life. I don't disagree.
That's a linebacker issue.
That is a linebacker issue and an athleticism in linebacker. We maybe talked about this week 4 of the season that I maybe undersold the loss of Willie Gay as it relates to that. That's also what happened yesterday. Look, if you ask me, did the Chiefs defend Josh Allen in the passing game okay yesterday? Up until the final two drives, I would say they did a really, really good job against Josh Allen in the pass game. I actually think they held him down okay. I would have settled for 27 for 40 for 260, a touchdown and a pick going into the game yesterday. What they couldn't control is the rushing of Josh Allen, which, by the way, most teams can't. The Chiefs are not alone in this area. What stood out yesterday is that they were incapable of getting a stop on 2 consecutive drives. And more than an indictment on the entire season of what this defense has been, in which up until yesterday, they were the fourth lowest scoring average defense in the NFL. They are now like the eighth lowest scoring defense in the NFL because they finally gave up 30. They were incapable of getting a big stop late, but what I simply think that is Josh Allen beat them. Is it okay sometimes, rather than making some like big soliloquy about this as a statement or an indictment on the entire year's defense of the Chiefs, and just admit that the second best quarter in the NFL got you? Because that's what I felt like happened those two drives. He it's is the old a great cliche, quarterback, like and he beat you.
Yeah, it's the old cliche, like they're paid to play as well, yeah. Right? Like they're played to win football games. That their goal is to win said game as well. Yeah, I think that's tough at times when, let's be honest, we fans in Kansas City approach it differently, I think, than other fan bases because this team has won so much.
Sure.
So like each loss is magnified. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. They're only losing like three or four of these bad boys a year.
So they always feel bigger.
And so
looking for
they're
going
to feel that much bigger.
I do wonder, though, just because I think the one thing, and to your point, Cody, I think some of this is Josh Allen is just that good. But over the last few weeks, we've seen the defense, not in totality, but late in games, not be able to make those stops. And I think the one thing is that Baker Mayfield, for not that it trumps your argument, because I think, again, the defense has been very, 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 very good. Baker Mayfield, the defense has the shot to end the game.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield with Sterling Shepard and whoever the hell else went right down the field and scored a touchdown to tie it up. Could have gone for two, obviously, but they didn't. Bo Nix goes right down the field. Special teams blocks it, but the defense could have stopped and prohibited them from even getting into range.
Yeah.
There. The same line, I think, here where...
Although part of that was like they started at the damn 40.
Remember, Butcher made a mistake, and they started at the 40.
Sure.
Go ahead.
But I think that the same thing goes here where you have a shot to end the game, theoretically. Mm-hmm. You have a shot to... Or not end the game, but you have to get a stop to get your team the ball back. At least force a field goal. You have to do something, or in this case, fourth and two, get off the field. This is your one moment.
No.
And they couldn't do it. And I'm not saying that this is something that just shows that they're beatable. They're not going to be able to get it done. But one of the things that I've wondered, even going back to last year, is the defense had been so good in so many clutch moments. Eventually, is it going to bite you where they aren't going to be able to make that stop? And I guess thankfully for Chiefs fans, it's in the regular season where this one comes up. But that's always been the thought, is every game is so nip and tuck and so close. It seems like with the Chiefs every week, it seems like that.
But this is how they've won for 2 years.
So. I know, but that's what I'm saying. Eventually, is that bubble going to burst, and they're not going to be able to make the stop when it matters most, and all of a sudden the season is over just like that?
Here's the issue with this. Is one, I think that they blew it plenty of times late defensively last year as they were still sorting through figuring out who they were defensively, and I think the Chiefs are still doing some of that now because of the loss of corners that you had mentioned. But I would also say that any of the other defenses that you're like, well, but they'll get the stop, have more losses than Kansas City, because everyone has more losses than Kansas City. The Chargers have the number one points per game defense in the league. They have three losses. So three times their defense couldn't get the stop. Pittsburgh has two losses. Denver has five losses. Minnesota has two losses. Detroit has two losses. These are the best defenses in the league. These are some of the best teams in the league. And sometimes in a couple of games in their season, probably when they desperately needed a stop, I'd have to go through every opponent, they were unable to do it. Look at Denver's defense, for instance.
Yeah.
I don't fear Denver's ability to get a stop, but when they needed one against Kansas City in that second to last drive, they didn't do it. They let up the score.
It's a fair point, Drew. I think it's fair. I think the reason why it seems like I'm kind of poo-pooing it a little bit is that I think we have seen also evidence, though, that under Steve Spagnuolo, like these issues that they had in this game, if you want to say Buccaneers game as well, like typically these are things that they figure out. It is still not even, it's late in the year, but it's not late in the year for the Chiefs because they play 20 games a year, essentially. So we're still only halfway through this thing, the way I view it. They have basically, now they don't have till the 20th game to figure it out. You get my point, though. They have until the 19th, 18th game to figure this thing out ultimately in the postseason. That's where I have faith, is like any of these issues where teams maybe saw something in the Bucs game and they exploited, sure. The Broncos game, I just have a hard time complaining about because they gave up 14 points.
Yeah. So it would have been 17 if that kick goes in. That's not a bad defensive day. No, also, Denver's offense is kind of coming alive, man.
Destroyed the
Falcons. All of a sudden starts looking like, I get it. You're saying the key moment. The key moment.
Yeah.
Pass rush stuff.
The premise of my point, that's where I was going to kind of get to, that we didn't get to earlier, is the premise isn't about the points. We already know the defense is great. But in that one moment when you have to get a stop, whether it's 14 points they've given up, whether it's 0 points they've given up, whether it's 20 points they've given up.
But they have done that this year, though.
Correct.
Including a fourth down stop against Atlanta and a stop against
Baltimore. I do think some of it is we have a lot of high expectations for the defense. But and it's not even that this is the end-all, be-all, and they figured it out. It's just, I think, something to monitor potentially going forward.
I hear you.
Are they able to fix it? Or are we going to see something against Pittsburgh or against Houston where this thing comes up again, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, maybe it's not a bigger deal, but maybe it's an onus of the man who came back and the pass rush still ain't figured it out yet. Or maybe cornerback two is still a big question mark going in. I don't know if...
I mean, yeah, I mean, all these other teams are hoping
issues,
that. I mean, that's...
I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're any of these other teams in the AFC, of course, that's what they're all dreaming and hoping of. That's what they're hoping happens. It's just we've seen a lot of times where whether it's last year, whether it's 2 years ago, where it's November and there's a couple losses all of a sudden. By the way, they still only have one loss. There's a couple losses... And people are like, I don't know this. Now we finally found the thing that's going to get them this time. And then they magically fix it. So we'll see. Like, maybe teams have adjusted a little bit the last two or three weeks. If you're saying that, what's the counter to that? And I have confidence that this coaching staff has the counter to that. None of it ultimately is going to matter until the playoffs. Did they fix it by playoff time? You referenced even like Pittsburgh and Houston. I don't even care. It's not even there. Did they fix it for the divisional round game? And we're going to ultimately find out.
Well, and in fairness to what the text line is saying as well, they were great in that third quarter.
It's scoreless. Nobody scored.
It's not like the Chiefs offense has been helping them. And I think that maybe that's
they
where
got three straight punts.
Maybe we need to monitor this because the offense going back to last year, they didn't give the defense really any breaks where it was the defense, and Mahomes said it all the time. The defense is winning us these games. The defense is winning. To the Chiefs' credit, they won the game against the Bucs on offense. But I wonder in those moments, like they're not helping the defense out at all whatsoever. Where the defense is giving you, hey, Pat, please. Hey, offense, please. Or we're giving you stop after stop after stop against the Bills. You got to give us something. They didn't give anything. And it came back to bite them a little bit in this one.
Someone from the 913 says, we can go from undefeated to the three seed real quick now.
Sure.
I don't know. I guess if the Chiefs were to lose to Carolina or Vegas in the next 2 weeks, but also we could say the exact same thing about Buffalo. They
have, that's happening. Yeah.
They have the 49ers after the bye. They have the Rams, and then they play at Detroit. I mean, the same thing applies there. I mean, if Buffalo loses one or two of those, then they could fall to the three seed. You know what I mean? Like you're not wrong, but like we can play that game. Of course, if the Chiefs lose another game in the next three,
they're the six.
It's true. I mean, it's the NFL, anything can happen, but Carolina and Vegas versus Niners, Rams, Lions. I like my chances of not having multiple losses. Whereas I could see the Bills having multiple losses during that stretch.
Saying they would be the three seed is almost as bad as me saying the Bengals still have a shot to make the playoffs. Technically,
if you
guys
missed earlier on the show today, we finally got True to admit that it's over.
They're probably
that it's,
not
that
making
it's
it
done.
Yeah, probably.
He probably that time. He's softening his stance.
You said no earlier.
He said if you made him predict, he would say that.
I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Now he thinks if they beat the Steelers, he might be back. You know.
All right, let's get to the audio fun bag from the weekend. I guess you mentioned Cincy, so do I need to start there? We all saw last night, great Sunday night football game.
With a terrible teammate?
Don't bring
this
up again.
Great Sunday night football
game.
He's a
bad teammate, dude.
21-point lead for the Chargers. Then the Chargers chargering. Then the Bengals were bangling with missed field goals. It was a great game. Really entertaining to watch. I was hoping for the tie, if I'm being real with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But Cincy lost. And then Ja'Marr Chase in the locker room spoke. And it sounds like, guys, things are going great and they're fine.
We just got to find ways to finish.
Everybody obviously knows you. What do you do?
How do I do it? I don't know. Ask Zach. Ask the coaches. Don't ask me. That's not my job.
To finish?
I play football on the field. I don't call plays for us, you know, so I can't really do nothing.
You think that's part of the finishing factor is plays stuff?
I don't know.
Things are going well. Calling out coaches.
It's all boiling over. It's all coming out.
He is not a good team.
He didn't get paid before the season either. I mean, the whole thing is a mess.
Well, I'll tell you this much. He's got 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
It's been great.
He's getting paid by somebody. I don't care if it's Cincinnati or otherwise. He's getting $35 million a year probably.
Barber said he thinks he makes $37 million.
That might be a little high for me. I think like 33, 34. Also, they should have paid him before. That was a mistake on
their end.
I just think he's always been like this. This is not new to the. He was this way when they were winning. He was complaining about touches in the middle of winning games before.
I think this is
Ja'Marr Chase.
Everything's boiling over. Like Joe Burrow was asked, "What do you say to Evan McPherson in that moment?" Nothing. Like it's boiling over. It's boiling over. Everybody knows that they're doing something wrong. It's the coaching. It's everybody.
I'm heartbroken to see it.
I know. Yeah,
it really breaks you up, people, doesn't it,
of
Alex?
Of all people, I'm surprised you weren't throwing a parade this morning. I'm surprised you weren't so happy.
If you want to be like, if we're keeping it real again, the Chiefs lost yesterday. I can't come in here and dunk on your team today.
If the Chiefs were
still 10-0 last night, I would have been tweeting at you 1,000%, Joker memes, everything. But I couldn't.
I was.
You
hurt
know,
after
I also didn't need to say anything because now I think it's like it's really
it's
you know reality of 4-7 football.
I was hurt.
Yeah. All right, what else we got?
Well, we can head over to where coaching challenge. I'm surprised, honestly. I thought by like noon today, Doug Peterson would be out on his ass after his team got rolled by 50 against the Detroit Lions on a team heading absolutely nowhere. Now the rumor mill is going to start up. Mike Florio, not friend of the show, had this to say about who could be heading to Jacksonville.
Well, Maria, before the season started, team owner Shad Khan said, "This is the best team the Jaguars have ever assembled. Let's prove it by winning now." So here we are, 2-9. Worst loss today in franchise history. Bye week coming up. Doug Peterson was asked after the game about the possibility of being fired. He said, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And it could happen soon. Now, what about the guy that put together the best team ever assembled? General manager Trent Baalke. I've talked to several people throughout the league, and there's a belief in some circles. He could potentially survive into next year as part of a package deal that would reunite him with someone he worked with back in 1998, 1999 with the New York Jets. That coach is available. He's won a few Super Bowls. His name is Bill Belichick.
Ooh,
bringing up somebody
Bill
Belichick. They worked together 20, you know, over 20 years ago.
You're not friends with people you worked together 20 years ago?
No.
Did you have a job 20 years ago?
No.
I had a job 20. I was 20. I mean, I definitely. Hey, I don't think I'm friends with any of them.
Shout out to Florio for giving us the it. Could happen.
Yeah, could, it, should, it, if it, it would, could. But I wouldn't tell you if it couldn't.
But if it does happen, I definitely it told you. And if it didn't, happen. I just said it might.
And it may be the case.
He's never given a definitive report in his life.
Look, He's as far as that story, something. I think Diana Rossini, I think it was Diana Rossini this morning, kind of pushed back on that report, said she's hearing that it's very unlikely that if Belichick were to end up in Jacksonville, that Baalke would survive. Like, that they would be working hand in hand.
Well, look, all the reporting is that Bill Belichick still wants to coach. You can say whatever you want. Is like, maybe he wouldn't want to do it because the media end has been pretty sweet and well-paying for him. Man wants to coach, so he's going to coach somewhere if he wants to coach. Someone will give him a job.
Elsewhere in the audio fun bag, we go back to Friday night on Netflix. Tyson, Paul fight, the buffering disaster that was. Never saw the fight. I was told the fight stunk. But people were interested. Like, acting like nobody was interested is also false. There was a pre-fight interview. Mike Tyson with his son. His son was part of the broadcast.
That's nice.
Listen to the interview.
Dad, you ready for tonight?
I'm ready, yes.
How do you feel about the disrespect he's been constantly throwing your way? And is it fueling you to get you more violent result?
I don't pay any attention to it. We're fighting now. Nothing matters anymore.
What's your prediction?
Vicious win.
Vicious win. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.
Love you too.
All right. So that's his son.
Thank
he says.
You, Dad. So awkward. Thank you, Dad.
Says love you. Kisses him on the cheek. Yeah. Turns around. Camera follows Mike Tyson. He's wearing like a jock strap in his bare ass cheeks. Are just out there live on Netflix for millions of people. Luckily, it was buffering. So you know. But yeah.
Twitter took over after that, though.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets logo smacked. And the Bengals logo smacked. Oh, yeah. Social media.
Twitter was great while the buffering mess was happening. And then right after that interview, it was like, just the cameraman also, like, you could probably cut away.
Could
tell he was wearing a jockstrap. Maybe you don't
go
follow
back
him
to the
walking.
Studio. Maybe you don't just zoom in on his ass instead. Just do the man a favor. But that interview, is no one else, like, I get, like, the father-son stuff or LeBron and LeBronny. Sometimes it's so forced and contrived, it makes me uncomfortable. The way he's like, "Hey, Daddy, how's your fight going to go?" And he's like, "Pretty good." He's like, "Thanks, Daddy. Bye." It's so awkward. It makes me so uncomfortable.
For them to have the whole kiss at the end. I love you. That was, Dad. Oh, yeah.
Dad?
It just,
is that you, Dad?
Yeah.
Vicious win.
Vicious win. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Dad.
Love you, too.
We need to just get
I'm
this.
I'm glad they like each other.
Can you get this,
like,
part, this part as a drop? Just the last part, please. If it'll actually play the last part for me here.
Love you too.
We just need to have you.
Love you
too.
Need
that, please.
We can play that anytime somebody gets in an argument on this show. Moving forward.
Oh my God.
That'll be the drop we play after after it's calmed down and it's just like dead silent for a minute because nobody knows what to say next. We just play that little clip of Love You, Love You Too. The last one I have for the audio fun back came via the Grey Cup. I wasn't expecting to play a Grey Cup clip on this, but there was a coin toss to decide who was going to receive the ball at the beginning of the game. He explained what was heads, explained what was tails, but as you hear in this clip, one big problem happened in the clip. He forgot to ask what they were calling before the coin got flipped, so essentially they got a rehearsal.
Please do us the honors. Check, check, check. I have to ask, right? Who, what do you want? All right, Toronto. Toronto, you're the visiting team. What's your choice?
Heads.
Heads is called. Okay, Lucas, take two. Now you can do it. Heads is a call.
I mean, that's like a pivotal moment.
Was he nervous?
I don't know.
Because he was on camera?
He's like, and it's the specialty coin, right? Like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Here's the important stuff. Here's all this stuff.
This is symbolizing blank.
He hands him the coin. The guy flips in the air, and he's like, hold on, wait. I forgot to ask, what do you want? Heads or tails?
I'm just imagining this happening in the NFL. Chiefs Super Bowl against the Lions. Coin toss happens, would have given the Lions the ball first or something, or the choice first, but they have to redo it
in overtime.
They botch it, and everybody, and then of course the redo coin toss works in favor of the Chiefs, and I honestly think Twitter would truly explode. It would combust.
100%.
Like, he was going to call tails. It lands tails. Like, let's just say Joe Burrow always calls tails in an AFC title game. And he was going to call tails. He calls it 99% of the time, whatever. And then he flips and he's tails like, I forgot to ask you what you're going to call. What are you going to call? Tails. And then it's heads. And then they go down and score a game winning touchdown. It'd be so funny.
In fairness, credit to the ref for, I don't know if you saw the actual clip, but he threw his hand up in the air like, well, I'm sorry. That was on me. Like, at least he was able to make fun of himself.
It was a little bit. Most Canadian thing. Like, oopsie doodle.
Oh, yeah.
Let me hold on now there, fellas. Let me get you taken care of. Like, oh my God, so awkward.
That's the audio fun bag for the weekend. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then I think it's pretty clear who six of the NFL playoff teams are on the AFC side. We'll see if you guys agree with me. Next.
Love you.
Love you too.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Mike Tyson. Hey, you know what? Say what you will. Like, everybody's like, I can't believe the people around him would let him do this. Come on, guys. You know what? $20 million. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. Like, I just... You know, they should be ashamed of themselves.
I'd step in the ring against Jake Paul for $20 million, and they wouldn't even have to set the standard that he couldn't knock me unconscious.
Well, that's the other part. $20 million, and you know, and Jake Paul, I think, got $40+ million. Neither side was knocking out the other. You might have thought Tyson wasn't capable of it anyway, but like at his age now, but neither side was doing that. After the fight, Jake Paul even acknowledged, like, "Yeah, I couldn't do that to him." Like,
he was taking it easy on him in those last couple of rounds.
The fight should have been over in round three or two.
He was out of gas.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. What's trending?
Oh, that's right. Heaven forbid Drew does his job.
Presented
correctly.
By Baker University. I was trying to buy you some time.
He actually did not throw you under the bus. He was just going to say.
Presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries, land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, of course. No, it's not Tyson and Paul. It's that the Chiefs are no longer undefeated. No more talk of a perfect season. The 72 Dolphins did pop some champagne yesterday.
Yep.
It continues for them. We heard from Andy Reid a little bit earlier on in the show discussing, I think it's pretty simple. Everybody agrees. Like, you, in a game like that, we know how close these are. You make way too many mistakes. You're going to lose. And they made, if we're really simplifying the entire thing.
They made more mistakes than Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, that's an oversimplification, sure, but it's also not a wrong way to discuss the game on that end either. Yeah, it was a frustrating one, but they're still 9-1. Neither of us are in panic mode on the Chiefs on this. They lose to the Panthers on Sunday?
Oh, well.
I might come here on fire on Monday. That's a completely different conversation. I also just don't think that's going to happen. Next up on Watch Training, the KC Current sadly did see their season end yesterday, or Sunday to, I'm sorry, Sunday, that is yesterday, to the Orlando Pride, 3-2. Late push by the KC Current, tried to get him back into range. They were just unable to get enough goals there late. Orlando Pride was the best team in the NWSL all season long. They maintain that. They will get to be at CPKC for the championship game coming up this weekend. Yeah, stinks.
It's a bummer. Could have the perfect scenario. Would have been really cool to see. But that is something that hopefully will happen in the future for the KC Current. Next on What's Trending, news out of New York, the Giants benching Daniel Jones. Tommy DeVito is back. Tommy Cutlet's back as the
starting quarterback. Backup is Daniel Jones then, right?
Third string.
Oh,
they moved him to third
string. They bumped him all the way down behind Drew Lock too. Huh?
This has to do with injury guarantees. They're obviously done with him after 20 months ago, signing to a four-year, $160 million contract. But much like Russell Wilson last year, they didn't want to play him because if he got hurt, they would have owed him even more money in guaranteed mechanisms. And so this is to ensure financially where they're at. But the Daniel Jones era is over. It should be. The question remains about Brian Daboll, the head coach. Some reports out there today that basically these final games on the stretch will decide whether or not he's back. If you're already doing that, it's time to cut the coach too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's time to cut loose from him and restart that whole thing. You're going to have a high draft pick. I actually think their defensive line, you got something to build
That's
on
good.
There.
That's a good
Malik
unit.
Neighbors. They got a young running back in Tyrone Tracy. Like I told you last week, I think that job, if they continue to have like a top three pick, they don't win a bunch of games all of a sudden out of nowhere. That to me is one of the best available jobs if it opens up.
If I'm a veteran quarterback, that's probably the best available spot to go in if they're not in a good spot to draft a quarterback, that is. Next up on What's Trending, the Big 12 will have some games over the next six seasons broadcast over on Warner Brothers, so TNT and TBS. It's supposed to be 28 total football and basketball games each year for the next 6 years. That all part of an NBA lawsuit they were settling with Warner Brothers. Remember, ESPN was taking over the basketball program. That's ABC, right? ESPN, the parent affiliate, were taking over that stuff. They also, as part of that deal and the settlement lawsuit, get inside the NBA. So Ernie, Charles, Shaq, the whole bunch heading over to ABC and ESPN. They'll do the pre and post over there instead.
That's really interesting. We'll probably talk more about that tomorrow. Some ramifications
of
that.
I love that show staying together. I'm not going to lie.
I think most people are. Next on What's Trending, some news just out in the last 15 minutes or so in regards to college basketball. According to On3 Sports, Memphis transfer forward Tyreek Smith has committed to Kansas State. He's got a red shirt this year. He's transferring in now. Got a red shirt. Going to play for Jerome Tang and the staff next season.
Mid-season transfer, huh?
Senior forward, 6'6", 223, career average, or at least like last year, looks like averaged 8 points, 5 boards.
Okay. Decent player for just a depth guy for Kansas State, but probably going to get more playing time there than I guess he was promised at Memphis. Next up on What's Trending, speaking of college, Kansas football upset win late Saturday
Very
night
late.
Over BYU. You might have been able to catch that after the wedding, Cole.
We did.
I was about to say, you might have caught that at the end.
After the send-off, when they were done with the wedding, we send them off or whatever in the car, my nephews were still up. They were awesome throughout the whole wedding. The fact that they were still awake and great. We all watched the KU game on my phone at the very end. So, yes, we did.
But that was the biggest upset, obviously, of college football, probably of the weekend. K-State lost to Arizona State. Got to be an incredibly frustrating loss to them. Seeing how BYU lost, that would have opened up the door for them to get back in the Big 12 title game. They did not take advantage. And then MU lost to South Carolina late, heartbreaking stuff. They had Luther Burden come through hero and then blew it.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Let's get back to the NFL because I know it's November 18th, and typically you don't have this much of the playoff picture figured out, but I think we do in the AFC at least. We could talk NFC, but don't we already know the six teams? Now, the seeding can maneuver, no doubt, but I think there's only one team spot available in the postseason. Like, we know the Chiefs and the Bills and the Steelers and the Texans, and I think the Chargers now, along with the Ravens, are making the playoffs. The Chargers are 7-3 after their big win against Cincy. I think we are only trying to figure out who the seventh team is at this point. So, and I think it's between the Broncos, the Colts, and the Dolphins. That's it. I think we're down to three teams for one spot. I don't know if the Ravens are going to be the sixth seed when it's all said and done, or the five.
I guess
and all
that they jump up a little. But
the seventh spot or the seventh team in, I think it's down to Denver, Indianapolis, and Miami. And even though the Colts have one more win than Miami, you kind of feel like the Dolphins, if Tua stays healthy, are going to end up passing them.
They're getting hot a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Colts do not look good. Although I'll say that was probably maybe the best start of Anthony Richardson's career. So if he's going to play like that the rest of the season, then sure.
Colts have Lions this week, I think.
Yeah, that's about to be a rude ass.
So let's say
call.
The Dolphins win. And so, you know, then they're both 5-6. I don't know the head-to-head tiebreakers between
Colts.
Or
5-7. Or no. Yeah, 5-6. Colts would lose. They'd be 5-7.
And so the Dolphins would jump above them temporarily. So in the Broncos, we all just saw what they looked like. The Broncos are a blocked field goal away from sitting at 7-4 right now, and tied for the sixth seed in the AFC.
The one thing I'll say though is they still feel a little bit like fool's gold. Not entirely. I don't think they're a bad team. Bo Nix is obviously playing. He was incredible yesterday.
He was,
and we could maybe talk about him individually too later on in the week. He was incredible yesterday. So I'm not saying that didn't count. But they've also lost three of their last six games. So it's not just the Kansas City game. They lost to Los Angeles 3 weeks ago. They beat New Orleans and Carolina. Ooh! Yeah. Lost to Baltimore and Kansas City, and then obviously beat Atlanta. So,
but it's getting late enough in the year, like just the win. I mean, it doesn't really matter how you do it.
The wins are counting.
You got to win.
Here's what I think stands out the most. All three of those teams have three of the 10 lightest schedules in the rest of the NFL. That's why you can eliminate anyone else who's behind. That's why if Drew wanted to just like give himself some false hope that if they beat, not him, but like if a Cincinnati fan be like, well, if they beat Pittsburgh this weekend, they're right back in it. It's just not the case. Well, the remaining schedules are the 28th easiest, the 30th easiest, and the hardest one is the Denver Broncos, who have the 23rd easiest. They face the Raiders, a bad team, Cleveland, bad team. Colts, a mediocre team. Maybe that kind of decides a playoff spot because those two teams play each other. But they do have to finish at Los Angeles, at Cincinnati, and versus Kansas City. So I still think after all this is said and done, I still kind of feel like Denver misses. And the Colts or the Dolphins make it.
It's definitely possible. It's between those three. Here's where the percentages, projections are at NFL.com of like playoff probability. So obviously Chiefs, Bills, Steelers,
99%.
Texans all 99 or 98%. Chargers are up to 91% chance. There's different metrics. ESPN has different numbers, but this is just NFL Network. 91% chance the Chargers make the playoffs. 95% chance the Ravens make the playoffs. 67% chance the Broncos do. 30% Colts, 10% Dolphins, 10% Cincy, and I don't know why I even mention it, but the Jets have a 2% chance.
I'm sorry. Why do they even have a percentage?
They have to.
Haven't they lost like five games in a row?
Yeah.
They have the worst chance to make the playoffs in the entire AFC.
No, because the Patriots have less than 1%
of chance. Less than one. I'm sorry. Those are the same percentage, right?
You know, it's funny. The Titans have a 1% chance. The Browns have a less than 1% chance. So you're saying the Titans' chances are pretty much the same as
Will
the
Levis
Jets
did
at this
have
point.
A have one throw the heat through a rope.
Yeah, but it got called back on penalty.
It's different on the NFC side because got, I think we all agree that like we got most of the playoff field. On the NFC side, like the Lions and the Eagles are for sure making it. But then think about the drop off. Cardinals only 64% chance because they're leading the NFC West, but still they could easily fall out.
Yeah, they're
Falcons 73% chance. They don't look good, but they're still leading. The Vikings are a 5-seed right now.
They're going to make it.
They're 8-2, 95% chance. Packers 7-3, 80% chance. Commanders 7-4, 81% chance. What's weird about this one is the NFC West.
Like you know the teams you just don't know the West.
Yeah, because like the Rams only have a 14% chance to make it. The Niners 31%, Seahawks 21%. It's whoever out of that grouping, they're going to have to win their division most likely to get in. So, but any though, you could be in the 10th spot right now in the NFC and still get in the playoffs. That's
sure,
what's
but you better be playing in the NFC West.
Well, that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's the Niners. I mean, the Bucks are the 11th spot right now. They have a higher percentage to make the playoffs in the Niners than the Seahawks and the Rams. But I think that's a little skewed and unrealistic because that's not factoring in that a win away from leading the division.
Do we look at Kyle Shanahan differently if they miss the playoffs? I know they haven't had Christian McCaffrey, but if they miss the playoffs, do we look at him differently?
In terms of like
top three coach in the league?
No.
Probably, I mean, top three?
Because I think everybody would say he's top three. I mean, or he's in the conversation at least.
Last week on Thursday's show, I think we were talking about this, like where Sean McDermott and Kyle Shanahan is. I think Kyle Shanahan's absolutely a top five head coach. I mean,
yeah, three might be.
Does it change
missing the playoffs? He's been to two Super Bowls in the last 5 years, and he's been to three NFC title games in the last 5 years. Sure. I just missing the playoffs 1 year. I guess who are you moving up and who are you having leapfrog him? I guess is what I would ask.
And have those teams? This is only the second time he'd missed the playoffs since the first 2 years he took over. He had Mullins and Garoppolo and a bad football team. Since he took over and they like at least had some stuff going, they went to the Super Bowl. He's only missed the playoffs one time in the last 5 years.
I understand.
So this is only the second time.
They've also had very good defenses. Defense this year, not playing as good.
That's part of his job, though.
Do you look at Matt LaFleur? Like, what is he doing? How about, Kevin O'Connell? Like, if you're saying, if you put them in the position where they had the Niners roster or whatever, are those coaches better? Because I would say right now, Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, for sure, ahead of
that. Just me, like that. I almost don't know if that's
too short-sighted.
I don't think that's fair to say for when we talk about Kyle Shanahan. The track record is there that, like, I don't think you can be like, for 1 year, what if Calvin O'Connell had Kyle Shanahan's team? Like, what would Kevin O'Connell have gotten? Jimmy Garoppolo?
Two Super Bowls?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's fair. Like, I think that conversation, if Kyle Shanahan had only been in the league for like 2 or 3 years as a head coach, then I think that's probably more fair, like, to do the, hey, take him off that team and put this guy on that team kind of thing. I think he's put himself in a category where, like, the idea of would Mike Tomlin be doing more with that team or something is almost not fair to either.
I think he's a good coach. I just wonder if you would, like, say Sean McVay is a better head coach than him, or like if you would go,
I might have McVay above him anyway. So.
Like McVay, I mean,
McVay might miss the playoffs this year. I don't know. That's the same spot as the 49ers.
Sure, is he top five though? I think. That would be the conversation.
Like if Sean McVay, who already won a Super Bowl, obviously, but like if Sean McVay was the head coach of the Detroit Lions, would they also still be 9-1? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's a different story where you look at a team that you're upgrading. Like, there, of course, should McVay be better because the team's better. But if you go from a team that's not as good on paper to a team that's better on paper, would Kevin O'Connell be doing the same things as what Kyle Shanahan has done?
I would say Kyle Shanahan's resume is shockingly similar to that of Sean McVay's in their first 6 years. He's been a coach for 6 years. Over the last 6 years, I would say, before this season, they have made the postseason the same amount of time. This would be the second miss for Shanahan. McVay's missed twice. They both have played in two Super Bowls. The one difference is, like, one guy won his game and the other guy didn't.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? I mean, and so, like, I know that wins matter. I'm not saying rings don't, but we're starting talking about, like, quality of NFL head coach. I kind of personally refuse to let one game decide what I think of them in entirety, right? Like, what I think of them as a collective. Like, in retrospect, he's been doing it with Goff and Stafford. Those are two very good quarterbacks. Goff is leading the team that's best in the NFC right now. I think Shanahan's always done more with less at quarterback. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo's any good, and never thought he was any good. Right. He drug his ass to the Super Bowl.
I was just posing the question because I wonder how he would be perceived just less, from a national perspective of, man, he missed the playoffs?
It has to be more than 1 year for me, if you're asking. It has to be more than 1 year for me.
I will say something we brought up last week with what would happen if the Chiefs won versus lost for a couple of betting markets. We can even get into this more tomorrow if you want, but as expected, Mahomes went from 6-1 to 12-1 due to the loss. I think his odds were propped up because they were undefeated. And also, we talked about on the betting show, once Andy Reid gets a loss, his odds are going to fall way off. He was 6-1 to win that. He's now 25-1. It's over. Like that. It was very easy to predict. Once the Chiefs lose the game, the market's going to crash on Reid and Mahomes in these markets. And that's...
He'd have to win out.
Literally, that's exactly what happened. Andy Reid's now 25-1. And Mahomes went from 6-1 to 12-1. It's over in those markets.
I think
for those
the top
that care
five,
about betting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you made that bet, I feel bad for you. And if you still think he's going to win it, bet it now. You just your odds
who,
are just
Mahomes.
Yeah. Or Reid, right? If you
it's
still,
over.
But you know,
it's over.
I'm just saying, if you like the long shot,
it's
I'm not
over,
saying
though,
I
man.
Wouldn't bet it.
As I joked yesterday on Twitter, just Venmo me the money instead. Just Venmo me the money.
If he
instead.
Went 16-1, he'd at least.
It got even more challenging because now that Harbaugh is going to win probably 10 games with the Chargers, his rookie. So now you're competing with Quinn and Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm. And Dan Campbell.
But at least they've been playing worse. The Quinn one came down on you.
It did. It did. But they're still going to probably win 10 games.
Sean Payton's also going to probably has better odds.
There's way too much competition. Mike Tomlin. Like, the guys just won another game. You know, yeah, it's tough, time. Man. Exceed expectations, narratives, all that.
If you made me give the award to someone now, I'd give it to Tomlin. I can't
strong
believe
argument.
He was winning. They were successfully winning. And in the middle of the season, he went to a quarterback that we all thought was washed still.
And all those, did you see the QBR for Russell Wilson yesterday?
It's not, it was bad.
12.
And he
12.
Said,
that
he
was
said,
one of those AFC
12.
North games that was nasty.
He said, what do you think of your offense? He said, W.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I respect it. He's not wrong. They won.
That's all that matters. Ultimately, I know we're not, you can't just go QB win losses, but at some point, wins have to matter. As we were doing that when we were talking about Cincinnati for a while this year. Like, wins have to matter at some point. But yesterday wasn't genius Russell Wilson decision. It was just Mike Tomlin, typical Steelers football defense, because I believe the QBR, I haven't looked again today. I want to say it was 12 in the second half for Russell Wilson.
Every single year we get reminded how ridiculous the Steelers are as an organization. They've had three coaches in their history. And Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. It's just insane.
Good for the. What are the Steelers doing with? Are they just more patient. What's going on there? I think more patient. He won a Super Bowl like really early on. It was easy to hold on to him.
Was Tomlin under Bill Cowher the entire time? Like, have they hired internally, or was he somewhere else? I literally can't remember. It was so long ago.
Yeah, I don't remember now. It's been way too long.
But they've knocked it out.
It was the Vikings defensive coordinator. Mike Tomlin was back in 07.
Okay.
The Rooney family has done an outstanding job. They're the best example, I guess, of how to properly run a franchise that just will never lose. They're never going to be poverty, ever.
Would he be your coach of the year if you gave out the award? Alex Gold's coach of the year in the NFL. Who'd you give it to?
If Mike Tomlin finishes as a top two seed in the AFC, yes.
But if the season just ended now, you'd give it to Tomlin?
Oh, yeah, Tomlin, and then right after that would be Harbaugh. Then Dan Quinn. Kevin O'Connell. If we're just keep going down the list. I'm not even looking at the odds, but I don't know if that's what the odds are.
No, I'm asking Alex Gold coach of the year you're handing out the award. Kevin O'Connell, they're 8-2 with Darnold. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with results there, too. That's the hunt.
Flores has helped the defense so much, too.
He's going to get interviews. But he's absolutely going to get interviews.
He's helped him out so much.
So much. But, like, also, I think, Drew, maybe based on our conversations, I give the coaches more credit for that than you. They're like, well, they got a great defensive coach. That's his job. Mm. Andy Reid's job was to bring in Steve Spagnuolo to run the defense. He brought in Spags. It's great. It's work. He stays out of his damn way. He lets him go about his business. It works. Flores, Kevin O'Connell, good for you. You needed help on defense. You found the best defensive coach available to you, and he's doing a great job with it.
The odds, if you were curious, since we were talking coach of the year, Mike Tomlin is the favorite, 3-1. Then Dan Campbell, 4-1. Harbaugh, 5-1. Jonathan Gannon's doing a really nice job in Arizona. Plus 650. Kevin O'Connell, 650. And then Dan Quinn's falling back to 8.5-1. And then there's a big drop off to Sean Payton at 14-1.
No one thought Arizona was winning the division this year. So.
No, and I don't know if they. I still don't know if they will. I still think the Rams might end up when it's all said and done winning that thing. I also was higher on them, so I'm hoping. I guess from preseason stuff. But tomorrow we'll talk plenty more Chiefs Bills. Nate Taylor going to join us, our NFL insider Vinny Pasquantino. We'll also get into all 32 and talk more about how the college football season unfortunately has wound up to be disappointing for all three locals here in the area. CDOT and Rob and the Drive coming up next.